Next question is, how would a local business apply for a grant under the Forward New Hampshire Fund?
Okay, so again, the Forward New Hampshire Fund will become a reality when we place Northern Pass in service, which is in the 2019 timeframe currently. And however, in these intervening months, we are going to be establishing the rules around grant applications and how funding requests are made for other types of initiatives. We also hope to be establishing an advisory board that has expertise in the four fund target areas: tourism, economic development, community investment, and clean energy. So we want to put together the right advisory board who can make the decisions around these initiatives so that they have the maximum positive benefit for New Hampshire. That's something we're going to be putting together this year, the structure, the governance, probably constituting the advisory board, and then hopefully be in a position to begin to consider requests, suggestions, and grant applications. But something we're very excited about. We think we can do a lot of great things. I mean, $200 million is a significant investment from a pure economic development perspective, and we want to ensure we have the right expertise to help guide those decisions. And if there's a specific follow-up question from whoever raised that, they could contact me after this meeting.
Next question is, does your research show that economic activity increases during the construction period in communities along the route of the projects like the Northern Pass? And then there's a follow-up question. Would Northern Pass make it less likely that New Hampshire electric ratepayers experience rolling blackouts at some point in the next 15 years?
Okay. The first of those questions on the economic impacts, I'm going to refer this to Lisa Shapiro. Lisa, maybe you could introduce yourself.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Lisa Shapiro. I'm with Gallagher, Callahan, and Gartrell, and I'm a consultant to the project on economic and tax benefits. So could you just repeat the question? I just want to make sure.
Sure. Does your research show that economic activity increases during the construction period in communities along the routes of projects like the Northern Pass?
Yes, this is a very significant construction project, $1.6 billion, and the project team estimates that about $500 million of that will be directly spent on New Hampshire labor and New Hampshire suppliers, service providers, local businesses. And as that money is spent, it's recycled back into the economy, and it has quite a bit of a boost. So the 2,400 job estimates during that time frame, as well as a significant impact in the gross state product of several hundred million dollars.
And then the second part of the question.
I will add just to that answer. You know, that's kind of the empirical expert analysis. We also have practical experience with large-scale infrastructure projects in the other states that we serve, like Connecticut. And Mr. Varney mentioned the Maine Reliability Project recently built. And if you look at the actual economic impact along the route in those municipalities and what it means to local contractors and local businesses, it's not just theoretical. It's truly real. And you know, there's plenty of evidence out there to support that.
The second question was, would Northern Pass make it less likely that New Hampshire electric ratepayers experience rolling blackouts at some point in the next 15 years?
Yeah, so today, Northern Pass is not technically required to keep the lights on, if you will. It's not what the grid operator would say is a reliability project, okay? So that's today's circumstance. I said earlier, a large amount of our existing generation fleet is going to be retiring. Many of those plants I referred to earlier have already announced their retirement dates, and there are many others across New England that we would expect are going to follow suit. You know, the question is going to become, if all that generation retires, how do you continue to keep the lights on and meet customers' load? Our belief is that Northern Pass is a big part of that answer. It's not going to do it in and of itself. There's many other projects that are going to have to be developed to, in essence, keep the lights on 15 years out. Now, so today, not technically a reliability project, but a critically important additional to the supply mix, and we'll see how that generation fleet is rebuilt in the intervening 15 years.
Who pays for the training program that your electrical workers go through to be able to work on this project?
So I think what's being referred to here is there's two apprentice training. So electrical workers, obviously, it's a highly skilled trade. It's a true craftsman. It's a multi-year qualification process. It's a mix of classroom training and on-the-job experience. Oftentimes the classroom training is done, nights and weekends. If in parallel these young apprentices are working their way through the field qualification, that in the field qualification is generally while they're doing useful work. We at Eversource have our own apprentice training program for electrical workers who are going to ultimately. Who are company employees, so they work on projects under our management and supervision. Just last year, we announced I'll call it a state-of-the-art or very innovative partnership with the IBEW to create opportunities for residents across New Hampshire. So what we've agreed to with the IBEW is we're going to use their state-of-the-art training facilities, their state-of-the-art methodologies, and these folks will work under the tutelage of contractors, large national contractors who are doing work on our system. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to bring folks into a highly skilled craft position, teach them a career, something that's going to serve them well throughout their lives. And the payment for that is basically they're being paid for the work they're doing in the field. And the majority of the balance of it is on their own time.
Next two questions on this sheet are related to each other, so I'll read them both to you. What will the impact of the Northern Pass be on climate change, and will this project reduce net greenhouse gas emissions?
If you looked at some of the information we shared earlier, very significant impact on greenhouse gas emissions or carbon dioxide emissions. And if you think about what's happening in New England, for us to meet our clean energy targets, projects like this are critically important. So when you are retiring nuclear plants, say what you will about nuclear plants, but they don't emit carbon dioxide emissions. So when Vermont Yankee retires and Pilgrim retires and Millstone One retires and Connecticut Yankee and Maine Yankee and Yankee Row, a large part of our nuclear fleet is gone or going. What's going to replace it? As I said earlier, it's either going to be natural gas power plants, which are going to push us in the wrong direction from a carbon perspective, or projects like Northern Pass. This is the single largest source of clean energy that at least I can envision right now in New England. It's, again, it's 3 million tons a year of reduced carbon dioxide emissions, the equivalent of removing, I believe the number, 600,000 cars from our roadways.
How many trees have been removed already?
So
please let him answer the question.
So yes, I think it's a huge step in the right direction.
How much frozen tundra are you guys destroying?
Mr. Quinlan, please yeah. Continue with
now,
your
I'll
answer.
Just conclude one of the, if you look at, what is the thinking at a federal level on this, and you look at the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan recently released by the EPA, they make a very direct point saying that for the United States to achieve its clean energy goals, this is a critically important part of the mix, which is large-scale imported hydro from Canada. There's really no other way for New England, the U.S., and New Hampshire to achieve our clean energy targets without accessing this source of power.
Please keep it short.
I'm trying to be thorough.
that seems to have been said before.
Sir?
That have
sir?
Again and again.
Sir? Thank you. The next thing I was going to say is that some of these questions you've been asked already, so if you could keep your answers short in response to them. The first one is, how much of the power in percentage will stay in New Hampshire? And then the next question that goes with that is, when will we know how much the electricity will cost? I understand there is no set price and you are using a power purchase agreement. How will we know what this will cost, and how will the SEC know?
Okay, the first question?
How much power by percentage will stay in New Hampshire?
All of it will be delivered to New Hampshire, Deerfield, New Hampshire, and where it flows electrically is going to be a matter of system conditions. You know, there are multiple lines that feed into and out of its delivery point, and the electrons will flow into the New England grid. What customers are going to benefit contractually? We know we're going to have 10% of it for PSNH or Eversource New Hampshire customers. The other 90% of it has not been contracted for, to my knowledge.
Okay, the next question was, how do we know how much the electricity will cost, or when will we know how much electricity will cost? I understand there is no set price and you are using a power purchase agreement. How will we know what this will cost, and how will the SEC know?
Once we have executed a power purchase agreement, we'll file it with our New Hampshire Public Utility Commission, and they will evaluate the pricing to determine whether it's in the economic interest of customers. As to the SEC, when we presented our $80 million a year benefits package for New Hampshire, it doesn't include the benefits associated with the power purchase agreement.
And the third question is, she, could you please compare the environmental impact of the Northern Pass overhead proposal versus the alternative 4A, the full burial identified in the DOE draft EIS? DOE says there is less environmental impact.
Without repeating everything Mr. Hodgson said earlier, our view is that the 4A option is not a viable option. We recently filed an explanation of that with Department of Energy, which I'm sure they'll post, and I would encourage you to access as to why we don't think that is a viable option.
Next question. There are three of them on this sheet. We have heard you say the power agreement with Hydro-Québec is not yet finalized. So can you explain how you came up with the $80 million in savings? And the next one is, if New Hampshire ratepayers aren't paying for Northern Pass, how do they get the savings?
Okay. So, to be repetitive, the $80 million does not include the incremental benefits associated with the power purchase agreement. It is purely the market suppression price for the wholesale market. As to the cost of the project, it will be borne by others. Generally through the agreements Mr. Muntz referred to earlier. There is no New Hampshire utility that's a party to those contracts, and therefore New Hampshire customers will not bear any of the costs of the transmission infrastructure project.
Can you explain how you are managing the demand from so many people that you bury the line when I've read that there is a lawsuit against the company for proposing to bury the line? It makes no sense to me, but there must be more to this matter.
Yeah, so again, back to an earlier point, we have heard from many that there's an interest in looking at options for mitigating particular view impacts. We're fully committed to continuing to do that. It is ironic that in the instance you're referring to, where the construction is underground, where there's a lawsuit pending to prevent us from pursuing underground construction, and it's from a party who is advocating for complete burial. So I can't speak for that party, but it's something we'll deal with in the ordinary course.
If there is a lawsuit against the company for using some roads to bury the line, will this hold up the project and stall the creation of the construction jobs?
Our expectation is that it will not. You know, the issue has been raised. We recently have made a responsive filing with the court to explain the reason why we think we are entitled to use the public highway. So what we're talking about is putting our line along the public highway. We think there's 150 years of well-established New Hampshire law on this point, and we think the court will find for us in this instance. We hope they'll do so expeditiously, and that's our intention, is to pursue an expeditious resolution of that, so as not to hold up the benefits we were referring to earlier. You know, the $4 billion of economic benefits, as well as the associated environmental benefits, are real. They are going to be directed here in New Hampshire. We hope to be able to deliver them.
If New Hampshire ratepayers aren't paying for Northern Pass, how does Eversource get its profits from this line?
Yes, I think Mr. Muntz did a thorough job in explaining the financial recovery of our investment. It's through our relationship with Hydro-Quebec and the agreements with Hydro-Quebec.
This question may have been asked before as well, but does the $80 million in annual energy savings come just from the power contract with Hydro-Quebec?
No. None of that comes from the power contract with Hydro-Quebec. It's purely the effect of a competitively priced new source of electricity on the wholesale market.
Next question is that the state is losing manufacturing jobs and companies to states with lower energy costs. How does this project help that problem?
Yeah, so that $80 million that I was referring to, as well as any additional economic benefits that come through the power purchase agreement, businesses across New Hampshire, as well as all of New England, are going to see a reduction in their energy costs. And probably almost equally important, based upon my discussions with dozens of businesses across the state, not only are they looking to reduce their bill, but they're looking for stability of supply and stability of energy costs. Right now, you're probably aware that there's a huge fluctuation in energy costs between summer months, and you know, we tend now to see price spikes during the winter. It's very difficult to plan a business around that kind of variability. So a portion of those energy cost savings are going to flow to these businesses who, you know, view this as a very important issue. And probably equally important, they'll see greater stability in their seasonal cost of electricity and more ample supply.
And the next two questions, you might just want to refer these folks to somebody that they can speak to. But the first one is, I work for a small service agency. How do small local nonprofit organizations apply for funding from the Forward New Hampshire Plan? And the next one is, can you please explain how a local contractor, trucking, logging, excavation, et cetera, could get involved in this project and benefit from this project?
Yeah, so I'll hit the second one first. You know, as we move through the siting process, and we start planning in greater detail around the actual construction activities. I mentioned our New Hampshire First commitment. We intend to be holding fairs across the state of New Hampshire to explain opportunities for local contractors to go to work on this project, whether they're gravel suppliers, logging contractors, electrical workers. So we're going to create fairs and opportunities for them and come and understand the opportunities, and our goal being to put as many of those folks to work in this project as possible. So that's in our planning. It's going to be rolling out beginning in 2016 as we plan for the construction. We've already had early discussions with some contractors across the state. The national contractors who we are bringing in to oversee this project are firmly committed to that New Hampshire First approach, and they're actually very excited about it. They've been impressed by what's available here in New Hampshire, and if you think about that up in the North Country, it's a game-changing set of opportunities for some of these small contractors.
Is there no time limit for questions? Or?
We're almost done with the questions.
Okay.
Yep, I'm going through every single question, even if they're repetitive, because I want folks to be that want to be heard. The next question is for the SEC. Earlier tonight, in response to someone in the audience, Mr. Quinlan stated that, quote, our land rights have been secured, close quote, and alluded to an SEC ruling supporting his statement. Has the SEC, in fact, ruled that Northern Pass has secured all of the property rights that it needs, including, for example, that the Northern Pass will not impermissibly overburden any existing easements? The answer to that question from the SEC is no. The only determination that the Site Evaluation Committee has made so far is that the application contained sufficient information for the process to go forward. No other determinations have been made by the committee other than the dates that these meetings would be scheduled. Next question has to do with historic resources. There are many treasures along the impacted area, views, vistas, pieces of history, and even undiscovered archaeological relics. How will any impact to historic resources be located and protected?
Okay, I'm going to introduce Sherilyn Wydell.
Thank you for your question. Northern Pass has completed a historic property assessment report, which is posted on our website. It includes a database of 1,284 properties along in what is called the area of potential effect, mile on either side. Of those, using the National Park Service criteria for the National Register eligibility potential, 194 properties were identified throughout the 29 cities and towns that the line goes through. I would encourage you, if you have a concern about a particular property or community, to look at that database and look at those forms and the evaluation that has been completed.
Lee Carbono
with Normando Associates. The question also referred to archaeological resources, which are below ground resources. So those have been studied by two separate consultants. There's consultants that were hired by the Department of Energy, as well as consultants that are working directly for Northern Pass. Each of those consultants has completed a Phase 1A report, which involves researching existing information and doing a walk down of the right-of-way, identifying areas of potential archaeological sensitivity. In addition to that, the next step of that is, in those areas of sensitivity, additional field research is done, including digging test pits. This is called the Phase 1B phase of the project. That is underway. I'm not sure what percentage of that is done, but there's been quite a bit of that work already completed, and that work is ongoing. There's a memorandum of understanding with the Division of Historical Resources that sets up time frames and responsibilities for completing that work. Once that work is done, then phase two may be necessary. That's additional survey and research to the underground resources. This process is in compliance with the Section 106 requirements of the National Historic Preservation Act, and the consultation process and the research process is ongoing.
Thank you.
We have three more questions, or three more sheets, I should say. The next one, the first question is Northern Pass applying or actively seeking State of New Hampshire status as a public utility company? And there are two other questions. Will Eversource guarantee taxes to local towns? And will Eversource guarantee electric rate reduction? I assume they mean by this project.
Yes, I'll take the second two first. As I said earlier, our estimate as to what this project's going to do to the wholesale price of electricity in New England and New Hampshire is based on a whole range of assumptions. When do power plants retire, what's added back, many things that are kind of, I'll say, beyond our control. It's our experts' best estimate as to what the future holds. Whether things develop exactly like that, unlikely it will. Could be better, it could be worse. You could have a catastrophic event which wipes out the natural gas inventory in this country. And as I said earlier, we're 50% dependent on natural gas. So what happens if fracking is banned? Okay, my point being that will have a very dramatic effect on electric rates, and there's no one project or series of projects that is going to deliver the guarantee you're referring to. So it's impossible to do so. What was the second question?
The first question, you answered the second. Well, there was one about local taxes. Will you guarantee taxes to local towns?
Yeah. So, I showed you the range of taxes earlier today. There are assumptions underlying that range as we move closer to the final project design and know exactly what our investments are in each state. We do expect to have follow-on conversations with the municipalities around the methodology for taxing our investment, as well as, in essence, establishing a tax floor, meaning the taxable asset in the town would be no less than X, and it's generally our net book value minus depreciation. Well, it's our net book value, which is the asset value minus the depreciation. So assuming towns are comfortable with that kind of industry-accepted methodology, our intention is to pledge to those amounts.
Not pay taxes after 30 years. That's what you guys want.
Next question is Northern Pass applying for or actively seeking State of New Hampshire status as a public utility company?
Mr. Muntz?
Yes, Northern Pass will seek status as a public utility in New Hampshire. It's required to own transmission assets.
The next question is, why was Northern Pass chosen as the name for this 192-mile project, if not to imply that it only affects the northern portion of New Hampshire, when in fact it goes down the entire length of the state from the Great North Woods and the White Mountains into the Lakes region and through the Merrimack Valley?
This is going back a while. I'm not exactly sure what the genesis was. This came out of our communications department.
So you don't know?
No. Okay. No implication of what the name means.
And I don't believe it meant to imply that this was solely, a project that was built in the North Country. I don't think that was the intention.
Okay, we're going to move into the statement part of our proceeding. There is one more question. It's not really a question, so I saved it for last so it can be the first statement. The person did not identify themselves. But their statement says, Northern Pass, I found your monopole design offensive to my religious beliefs. Your design looks like a crucifix. Bury your entire transmission route.